And now it's time for The Grelly with your host, Jerry Negrelli.
Give people a second to get their tape recorders ready.
Jerry Negrelli and Alan Dan. Jerry Negrelli is brilliant. I ought to have him, you know, at Michael's wedding.
This is The Grelly, and I am your host, Jerry Negrelli. Thank you for joining me. The title of the show is ridiculous. The episode is even more so. Thank you for bearing with me and continuing to be a part of this silly experience. So The Grelly has been showing up in the wild recently. Todd Takei posted a tweet in response to last week's episode, said the end of this week's The Grelly is great diet inspiration. And that was, of course, in reference to Muriel P's wonderful review of Chatter. If you haven't heard last week's episode, I did warn you it was going to be horrifying and disgusting. Listen to the last 3 minutes. It's something I will both apologize for and take a bow for at the same time. Adam Benson also said, I've been singing that silly Subway song all day long. Thanks to the last episode of The Grelly. My coworker just asked why I'm singing about Subway. Thanks, Jerry. But really also thank you, Elliot Olshansky. Elliot's very first jingle and also still to date, I think his best. Just such an epic song. Absolutely love it. And we revisit that every summer Jingle Fest. I think that Wilbon's World and the Subway song might be the only two songs that have been performed at all four Jingle Fest shows. Wilbon's World was written for that first show and went over like, it was just such a dud. Nobody knew this song. And I quickly learned that writing fresh new parody material for a jingle show and nobody has heard it before can appreciate all the words, probably not the best idea. So today's episode, wanted to share some stories and some songs and all kinds of fun stuff as we usually do. The first thing, if you've supported Little Songs on Patreon, there was probably a surprise that you got in the mail.
In the NBA, any surprises at all so far to you?
Surprises, no. Mm-hmm. No surprises.
If you pay attention to the NBA, you know the playoffs. They last 6 whole months.
Surprises, no. No surprises.
5 seeds sometimes beat the 4 seed. Yep, sometimes there's an upset, but mostly that's not true.
Surprises, no surprises.
Once the Mavericks lost to Golden State, but that was 10 years ago. The NBA has no surprises. Just like Will Bond, there's no surprises. No Tony, there's no surprises. Michael Wilbon, watch as the home team wins every game, the favored team wins every series there.
No surprises. No surprises.
So if you're listening to this, you're probably not Mike Wilbon, so I hope that you were surprised. If you've ever supported Little Songs on Patreon or the Kickstarter or any of the Jingle Fest, you should have received a physical brochure in the mail. This is the first mass mailing I've ever done, advertising all the glories of Jingle Side. I put together a mock brochure, and the feedback I've gotten has been really great. I was so happy that it caught a lot of people off guard, as many people thought it was real and that they were being solicited by an old folks home, to the point that I think half of the people I sent it to, I think I sent about 300 of them, probably threw it out thinking that they were really being solicited by a retirement community. So if you didn't get it and you've supported me in the past, let me know, mailbag@littlesongs.net. Maybe I can send you one of the few extras that I got. I really loved sharing those jokes. I just thought that'd be a fun way to raise awareness of the Fifth Jingle Fest and get folks excited about supporting it and being a part of it and planning their visit to D.C. June 22nd, 2019. Of course, even if you can't come, I love your support. If you have supported me and this podcast on Patreon and stuff, you would have received a mug by this point as well. I sent out some mugs in the mail a couple of days ago. So if you didn't get one, please let me know. I think that everyone on the Patreon site should have received one if you provided your mailing address, except for there's one person who lives in Canada, and I didn't want to pay for the shipping yet, so I just need to make a special trip for that because the automated teller machine doesn't allow you to pay for international shipping. So if you, and you know who you are, I'm sure, live in Canada, it'll be coming in the next week or so. All right, so speaking of giving out those mugs, one of my, this is kind of just a random aside, but I guess that's what this whole podcast is. One of my favorite lyrics recently was from a Billy Joel parody that I did to the tune of Tell Her About It. And it was about Tony and how we didn't know, or we know he's rich, but we never knew that he wanted to be mugged. So in the spirit of free mugs, here's that song.
Listen, Tone, I know that you think you gotta get cash at the bank. You don't want somebody telling you the way to pay to fill your tank. You're an old man now with pockets full of dough. And now you're telling total strangers on your show. Tell us about it. Tell us just how much you got. Giving every reason to ensure that you get robbed. Tell us about it. How you got $1,000. I knew that you were wealthy, not that you wanted to be mugged. Tell us about it. Tell us where your wallet's at. You got to tell us about it. Tell us now if you hate your cash. You got to tell us about it. Only suck.
One of my favorite things about the little songs and the parodies that we do is being able to take a mundane, ridiculous, or funny story that Tony tells and turn it into a musical tribute. And just being able to capture the spirit or the essence or the joke of that and being able to pay homage to it. And probably my favorite example of that is the time that Tony was ranting about how McDonald's isn't a restaurant. And I had so much fun writing that one. It was one of the few that just kind of came to mind, totally conceived, you know, in like a improvised rant. And the best part about it isn't so much Tony's ridiculous story, which was ridiculous, but was Gary egging him on about some of the mundane, stupid details. And I tried to capture that in the song. So let's listen to that song. This is an example, I think, of a great Tony story, a great moment in the podcast, turning into a jingle that, you know, we remember still a little while later.
This song's called Tony's Restaurant. It's about Tony in a restaurant. Well, not really a restaurant, rather something that calls itself a restaurant. Now, it all started when Tony was driving up Rockville Pike the other day, shouting things out as he's wont to do. Cindy Nail, 35 mph, La Fitness. But then he noticed a sign he'd not seen before. Now, he was headed north, and the sign was to his left, that is to say, it was on the westerly side, or the southbound side, and he was headed north, remember, so this was on the opposite side of the road from Tony. He was going against rush hour traffic, but this sign was for location on the westerly, southern, south side of the street, just so we're clear. So on this southwesterly side, Tony saw a sign for a restaurant, and he knew it was not a restaurant. It was a McDonald's. Now, maybe McDonald's fits the Merriam-Webster definition of a restaurant, that is to say, a business establishment where meals or refreshments may be purchased, but if you follow that definition, then pretty soon you'll be calling Applebee's a restaurant. And really, they may as well sell gasoline there, because Applebee's is as much a restaurant as a Wawa or a Sheetz. The kind of place you'd stop on a long drive, not a place you'd eat a meal or expect to receive your mail. And so let's get back to McDonald's, which is, after all, the point of this 18-minute massacre. If you have to stand in line like you're at the post office, where there are no waiters or busboys, or where the cheapest entree costs less than $30, well then, you can call it anything you want, just don't call it a restaurant. Drive right through in your pickup truck, feed your family for 20 bucks. You can call it anything you want, just don't call it a restaurant.
Okay, so the McDonald's story, classic, epic, wonderful story. Then recently on a pop-up podcast, there was a new story that they wanted to talk about a golfer named Bronson Burgoon. And Tony must have said Bronson Burgoon, like 50 times during the course of the story. He just loved saying the name. The alliteration is wonderful. The rhyme, I mean, it's a great name. It's just wonderful. Anyway, there was a lot of hype about this story, about Michael taking his baby boy to a golf event and annoying Bronson Burgoon. And anyway, they gave the mic over to Michael to tell the story, and it was like a three-sentence story. I mean, almost nothing happened. And so I loved that aspect of it, that it was this tiny little story, and the whole crew was so tickled by it. And Gary, even at the end, was like, oh, that was such a great story. And from my perspective, it was an awful story. So this is now my way of trying to pay homage to a moment in the show that will probably live on in infamy for a while, this Bronson Burgoon and the baby thing, but which ultimately almost nothing happened except annoying a golfer and then walking away. So here is my homage to Bronson Burgoon.
Bronson Burgoon.
Oh, you don't forget.
Michael, why don't you tell the story of Bronson Burgoon?
Now, somewhere on a golf course in Maryland, there was a golfer named Bronson Burgoon. And one day his round was interrupted when a baby cried. Bronson gave the kid the evil eye. No, he didn't like that. Now, I'm not quite sure what happened next. I kind of lost track of time during all the golf talk. But at the end, I think Gary said it was a pretty great story. Bronson Burgoon was golfing this June when some baby boy started cooing. Bronson was shook and gave a stern look as if to ask, what are you doing? The little boy's dad, he felt pretty bad and bounced the boy to make him calmer. Burgoon was revived and he shot 65, and now he's Tony's favorite golfer. And that's where it ends. No, seriously, that's where it ends. There isn't any more to this story.
Bronson Burgoon.
That's a great story.
If you've listened to the podcast as well as the Grelly, you probably realize that I'm not always right. And I am sharing my opinion on things and what I find funny or humorous or interesting. And so some stories like Bronson Burgoon or McDonald's may seem really stupid, but end up in infamy. And so just to kind of discredit my own snark in that last song, which, you know, I mean no ill will when I do these things. I just, an idea captures me and I want to see it through. But the bocce ball story, when Tony told that story, I remember vividly listening to that episode. I was driving and I was rolling my eyes in the car like, what is this story? It just keeps going and going. He lost a bocce ball in the hedge playing bocce with his son and his son's wife and the wife's girlfriend or sister. Like, what in the world is this? How is this an interesting segment? It seemed like he was trying to kill time. I mean, just filled an entire old guy radio segment talking about this bocce ball story. And at the time, I wrote and recorded an intro for the podcast about the bocce ball story. And you'll hear, I'll play it now, that I did not think that that was a very interesting story. And soon after, John Fitzpatrick recorded his version of that story. And it is now one of the most beloved and memorable and epic songs in the history of the old TK Jingles brand. And I remember Liz, Michael's wife, who was the subject of the bocce ball story, laughing, clapping, and dancing along to John playing this at Even Liver. And it just crystallized for me that some stories, well, I said, you know, to me may seem stupid or pointless or whatever, can end up being classics in their own right. So here's a few songs about bocce balls.
I heard that this show stinks, but I had to find out why. Tony's awfully good on TV. Millions watch PTI. So I tuned in one day. He talked about bocce ball with his son. Everyone loves a good story. But sweet Jesus, that wasn't one. What has Tony done? My little friend, old guy radio, never seems to end. And he goes on and on. He's never short on words. They told me his show was bad, but somehow it's even worse.
Bocce, bocce,
wanna come play,
wanna come bocce,
play bocce, baby.
Such a thrill. Liz just hurled the red one. Where'd it go? Let's be sure to blame her. It wasn't me, you know. Glad to hear the bunnies flourish in the flora. Not like Tori's backyard, world of bunny horror. Hey, Liz, where's the red one? Bocce, bocce balls.
Yeah.
Check in the shrub for the red one, y'all. Bocce, bocce balls.
Yeah.
What is the deal with bocce?
Ow!
Bocce, bocce balls!
Yeah!
So glad we found the red one, y'all! Bocce, bocce balls! Where'd Tony put the others?
How'd you ever meet Lisa? You never told us.
Well, that's a very interesting story. When I moved to San Francisco with two suitcases, and I didn't know anyone, and I hit YMCA with a $2,000 check, which I couldn't cash.
Why not?
Well, because it was an out-of-state bank. Anyway, I was working as a busboy in a hotel, and she was sitting, drinking her coffee, and she was so beautiful. And I say hi to her. That's how we met.
So, I mean, what's the interesting part?
Well, the interesting part is that on our first date, she paid for dinner.
What? No tips from your job?
Whatever.
That was a clip from The Room, starring Tommy Wiseau, in which Tommy tells, quote, an interesting story about how he met his future wife, Lisa. And that is a moment of that movie. I mean, the movie is just so bad that it's amazing. I mean, I love it. I've played clips of it on the podcast before, I'm sure. But that clip, that moment in time, comes into my mind quite often listening to Tony's show, of the idea that what is an interesting story to one person is not interesting to somebody else. And what may seem so incredible just really maybe isn't.
When I think about my homeowner's rights, get up tight and go outside to that little place out back. connected to an alley where my garbage is stacked. The green and blue containers filled with stuff I neatly packed. And it's just one more thing, and I can't take it anymore. Have my neighbors gone crazy lately? These punks out there leaving bags at my back door. Someone dump that trash in mine, can't you see? Someone owns a great big dog, he might bite me. The lids were open, cans were stuffed. Umbrella sticking up, this garbage don't belong to me. I'm going door to door on a Sunday morning, 'cause I'm sore. I'm checking cans, I'm checking all their cans.
I'm not sure why, but you're listening to The Grelly.
We all have stories, and I've shared many of them about my father-in-law and some of our various adventures. And this one is really short, but it is the foundation of our relationship, I think, or whatever you want to call it. Very early on, when I don't know if I was even married yet, or maybe we just had gotten married, and my father-in-law, he's an audiophile, and he loves LPs and listening to music. And as a result, has really expensive speakers and a really nice audio system and spends a lot of time and money on this. And my mother-in-law does not like that he spends a lot of time and money on this. So he approached me one day and said, I found some new speakers. I want to upgrade, but I need to make a change, like a Thomas Crown Affair. He needed to be able to stealthily go in and swap out the old speakers, look very similar, with the new ones at a time that no one would notice. He said, they're going to be shipping. Can I have them shipped to your house, and then you store them in your garage, and then at a time of my choosing, I will come take them from you, and I'll bring them to my house, and I will swap them out, and then I'll get rid of the other ones and sell them on eBay or something. But I need to get these new ones in here. And I said, no. For a number of reasons. First of all, it seemed like a trap. I mean, what kind of father-in-law comes to their son-in-law and says, I need you to lie for me. I need you to help me with some deceit. Let's do this. Like, that seems like a really bad way to initiate that kind of relationship. So I didn't want to appear that I was going to somehow support this underhanded and nefarious scheme. And then secondly, it just seemed wrong. I just didn't want to do it. I said, no, if you really want to do it, just get your speakers. And he has never forgiven me to this day. I know that it was an hombre thing. It was a thing that just bothered him, like the bro code. I broke the bro code. And I really was just trying to demonstrate my integrity and honesty. And it just felt wrong. So I know that, you know, if he ever listens to this, if you know, this story ever gets back to him. We've talked about it before, and he still hasn't forgiven me over this, but I just was never going to do it. It's not something I would ever ask him to do, and it's not something I would ever, you know, do in return. I always, because of stories like that, I have nightmares that one day, and I know that because of this whole honor system, that like if I accidentally murder somebody, like, hey, I killed somebody. Would you mind helping me cover this up? Like, oh yeah, no problem. Let's do it. Like I worry, like I have nightmares that's going to happen. It's going to come to me like, oh yeah, I had an accidental hit and run. I need you to come take this body out of my trunk and help me bury it in the backyard. Like, it's kind of, I mean, maybe that seems like a logical leap to some of you, but I feel like that's where it's going. So if I'm ever in the news, it was probably as a result of some scheme like this. So apologies in advance. I did my best to try to stay above the fray, but, you know, sometimes family, you know, family first, I guess. A A couple of days ago, I went to see Jason Isbell at Wolf Trap, and it was fantastic. I really, he was with his band, the 400 Unit. I had no idea how good they were. I've seen him several times, but the band setting was more like a rock concert than it was a country concert. It was really incredible. And I really am gravitated to him because a lot of his sad acoustic songs, I tend to like these really depressing, sad acoustic songs, and he's brilliant at that. I only discovered Isbell because he was the opening act for Ryan Adams at Strathmore a couple of years ago, and otherwise I would have no idea who he is. So if you don't know those two artists, I highly encourage you to listen to them. It's funny, in terms of opening acts, the opening act for Oasis that I saw in Indianapolis in 2000 was Travis, which is now like my favorite band, and I would never have even known who they were except that they opened. And similarly, Jason Isbell just happened to be the opening bill. And I think I missed 95% of it. We tend to be late to everything. So when I went to Strathmore, I think Isbell was wrapping up and said, oh, well, I guess we missed his songs. I'll have to check him out online later or something. So I never even got to see him perform there, and which would have been basically a free, you know, concert. Anyway, because of that, because of Jason Isbell and that fond experience that I had recently, I wanted to play some of the parodies here. And since he's not really a mainstream artist for the most part, most of these songs are only possible because of Jason Fuse. I think that one of them might be like a cappella, so I was able to do it. But the other three, I'm going to play four Jason Isbell parodies here. They're all made possible by Jason Fuse and his incredible backing tracks that he helps to create for people that do the little songs. So the first one is a parody by KJ and Jason. It's a parody of songs that she sings in the shower. It's songs that we sing for Porthouser. The first bit of it is about me, and then the rest of it's just a celebration of the songs. This is a song I've wanted to parody for a while, with a charcoal that he keeps in the shower in tribute to that Tony story. But KJ killed it. There's really no reason for me to touch it. Next, the interlude, a parody of Live Oak, is about folks who idolize Tony and then realize maybe this isn't the best idea. I remember when I first planned the Jingle Fest show at Kilroy's, Michelle was very excited for me, like, oh, you're gonna do a live show, you should get a beard and a bald cap and like go the whole Tony route. And I said, wait, I don't want to be Tony. Like, I have no interest in that. And so this song kind of gets at that idea of idolizing Tony and realizing, like, oh, this is a pretty bad idea. And then the crown jewel of this set is John Fitzpatrick's parody of How to Forget. And it's got so many great moments. Among my favorites, there's a line in here that is an original lyric, and I love when a parody can echo an original lyric. I've talked about this before. Weird Al's really good at that, allowing you to hear echoes of the real song in the parody, and yet it's funny in the parody version, even though it's the exact same words. And so John has a line in here, he won't stop telling stories, which comes from the original song, and then it ultimately leads up to the classic Tony's going to get fired someday type idea, which has resonated in a lot of these parodies. And then lastly, in this Jason Isbell set, is a parody of 24 Frames, made possible by Jason Fuse. And highlights in this one are just riffs on the old chimps turn into monkeys joke. I think I've probably done this a couple of times. Tony had this whole idea of chimps turn into monkeys, which I think probably a lot of us thought at some point in our lives. But then if he thinks that, then, you know, what does that mean, that frogs and toads are the same thing, or horses and zebras are the same thing, and just kind of playing on that whole thing. So here are four Jason Isbell parodies by KJ, myself, and John Fitzpatrick, made possible by Jason Fuse.
On a lark, on a whim, grabbed a pen and some paper, began writing in his kitchen. Built a website. He was stoked. It did not take very long for the littles to join in with more jokes. Now here we are. Singing about bathrooms, bald golfers whose mother's a prostitute.
And the songs that we sing for Port Hauser are stuck in my head, like black coffee in bed, yakking on ESPN. And I'll never hear Desperado the same way again without thinking of him. Oh, Timmy Kirkjian. The ape man belongs to Fitzpatrick, no longer the Kinks. And please tell me why we're still jingling for this show that stinks. And the songs that we sing for Port Hauser are stuck in my mind, like the Metro's purple line. I will transcribe. And it's lyrics like Uranus is famous I'm bellowing out, horrifying my spouse. At least I got the house.
There's a man who works in radio, he is who I wanna be. Well, except for all the baldness and the living in DC. And I'd hate to have a beard, and I'm not ready to be 84. You know, on second thought, I don't wanna be Mr. Tony anymore.
In your face, with each screed, a little airtime's all he needs. Got a shouter here, a little feed, a lot of wine, and he'll be yakking the whole time. A good bit's out of fear. He won't stop telling stories, swears most of them are true. A few of them work best when he works blue. Comment strained, oh, egad, didn't mean to sound that bad, it was years ago. It happened quick, headlines flared, so they kept him off the air a few weeks or so. His blasts go out on TV, broadcasts and falls asleep just after eating ice cream by the sink. They haven't fired him yet, it's still a pretty safe bet. It's just a matter of time, I'm guessing. They haven't fired him yet, it's still a pretty safe bet. It's just a matter of time, I'm guessing.
Twenty-four years have flown by so fast. Now Tony's leaving radio and starting up a podcast. His new show's called The Rose, and there'll be a lot of cursing, we think. So this is where you find out if you're really a little. Will you tune in September, or are you not committal? iTunes has thousands of podcasts that equally stink. You thought a monkey was a species all its own. Now you know it's just a chimp that's really old. Kinda like how frogs are baby toads. Tony's future is here after 24 years. He was on the radio for 24 years. Well, except for all the sabbaticals and interruptions and
various side projects, but
24 years.
24 wonderful, wonderful years. Kind of. You know who else likes Jason Isbell? Chris Eliza.
Call him Lace, the man with the punchable face. He has so earned it. Loves to troll the haters on Tony's show. Malibu loves it. Yeah, how long must we stand for it? Yeah, how long can we handle it? Yeah, I almost got banned for it. For it.
One of the running gags in the podcast was the roast songs about Chris Eliza, and they were often set to the tune of a Coldplay song because he hates Coldplay. But now many of those are secret and blacklisted songs. They do not appear on the website because I was counseled by folks that work for the show that you don't F with friends of the show. So, you know, take it easy. Don't be mean. And I've tried to explain before that oftentimes the songs I'm doing are just a logical conclusion of a joke, even if it's not a joke that I agree with. I mean, in Eliza's case, I maybe tend to agree. But, you know, it doesn't mean anything. I mean, in my opinion, a lot of this stuff is just like roasts. I mean, it's just meant to be funny. It's meant to take a shot at somebody. I notice on the Facebook page, folks take pretty harsh shots at Michael and Luke and Chris and stuff, but a lot of Michael. And I feel bad because I know that Carol's on there all the time. And so, you know, as much as the folks on the show seem like celebrities and characters and whatever, and I mean, Chris goes out of his way to troll people with his Malibu stuff, they're still people. So I know that when those comments show up there, they are read, they're reported back or whatever else, or they hurt somebody's feelings. You know, that sucks. But, you know, on this show, we're all friends here, so I think that hopefully we can laugh at some of this stuff. So I wanted just to quickly play in honor of Chris and his love of Isbell and all this stuff. I wanted to play Chris Eliza song, one of my absolute favorite parodies I ever did. And I think that this never actually was posted to tkjingles.com back when that was the website. It was exclusive to the podcast and was quickly told after that, please get rid of that. So here's that song and then my follow-up apology song, my sincere apology in response to Chris, who emailed me, who actually sent me a message saying, like, sorry you hate me so much, and then disappeared and wouldn't respond to my replies. So here's my homage to Chris, as well as my very, 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 very sincere apology.
Come on, man. What are we even doing here, man?
Eliza, you're driving me nuts. You're on Mr. Tony Show daily. Chris Eliza, when will this streak end? Don't you ever feel hockey game? I tune in to Tony's show. Here's Eliza nearly drive off the road. Guess it's true that life's not fair. Chris keeps talking and using up our precious air. Eliza, we kid cause we love. No, not really, it's because we hate. Don't you have some real work to do? For Bezos, blah 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 blah. Jubilation, it's Aldridge instead. Today I can actually listen. nothing about new mischiefy.
I'm a pretty big wheel there. Pretty big wheel. And we were going to do that whole segment on the Division III Field Hockey Final Four. That is the official name, Loomis Chafee School for the Rich.com. Come on, man. 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 Come on.
This one goes out to Chris Eliza. I'm sorry, Chris. I hope we can still be friends. Words hurt. Sorry, Chris. I crossed the line. I mean it. You said I was tough, but fair. It's nice to know that you care. You take a lot of crap. Oh, a lot of crap. And I'm just so sorry.
That's it for the Grelly, folks. I hope you enjoyed listening. I have enjoyed doing it, as always. It is great to be back. I got a pretty busy work cycle coming up here, so I'm going to do my best to try to keep things going through August. I'm recording this episode a day early just to make sure it gets out this week. If you enjoyed this, please, I encourage you to visit littlesongs.net/support and find a way that you can support this show and the Jingle Fest and all that stuff. If you don't want to do that, at least go to littlesongs.net, leave a comment for some of the lovely songs that you heard today. It's my pleasure to bring them to you, to create them for you, and the fact that anybody 5 years later still finds them funny is, of course, a wonderful honor and treat for me. So until next time, this was The Grelly. I'm Jerry Negrelli. Thank you.
Karma police, help me understand. Should a comma or a space be placed before and in a list of three or more things? How should I use it? Is it requisite? What's the etiquette if you're not from Oxford?